Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz, and my guest today, and I have two, are Frank Pegram from Dynamark Security, a firm that he founded in Richmond, Virginia back in 1981, and Kevin Jordan with Redpoint Marketing, who is also in the Virginia area and is a Duct Tape Marketing Certified Consultant. So we're going to talk about Frank's entrepreneurial journey, but then also talk a little bit about the engagement of a marketing consultant to help you grow a firm. So Kevin and Frank, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So I know, obviously, what a security firm does. I mean, they're very, very common around the world these days. But I'm really curious about, what led you to start one some 30 plus years ago?
Well, actually, it was a little bit by chance because I had come out of school, worked for a telephone company, which at the time was not Verizon. It was CMP Telephone before the breakup and everything. Yeah. And one of the Bell operating companies was really bored there, couldn't stand doing that, just started doing various different sales jobs until a friend of mine said, you ought to take a look at this. He was selling part-time for this company called Dynamark Security. He was getting his master's in English, and I took a look at it, and I started selling for them kind of part-time. One thing led to another. I said, this is the business I want to start, because I knew I wanted to be in business for myself. Just wasn't exactly sure what. So, one thing led to another, and here you go.
So you were not the original founder of the business?
Dynamark was very close to a franchise back then, and then they actually franchised in 1984. And I, through the benefit of already being associated with them as a dealer, was somewhat grandfathered in, had to pay a reduced franchise fee to get in since I was one of the original franchisees. And things have evolved through the years that we're no longer a franchise. I'm just Dynamark Security of Richmond, but there is a Dynamark Security nationwide that does all the monitoring of all of our accounts, and they also provide some marketing support and product distribution and stuff like that. But we're no longer a franchise network where we pay fees and co-ops and all that stuff.
Well, I've owned my own business for coming up on 28 years, so I love it. I get interviewed a lot, too, and I get, this question all the time, and I think it's a very interesting question. I'd love to hear your take. Would you say now, in hindsight, some 30 years later, that you're achieving the vision that you had for your business when you originally started, or was it more, let's just see where this goes?
Well, I mean, I definitely have more vision of let's see where this goes. I mean, I had very specific income goals, but I was pretty young when I did it, so for me, it was more, I'm just going to go sell my butt off, and I had income goals based on contact goals and sales goals, and then where my business is now is well beyond what my goals were. Financially, I had a vision of a company that was self-sustaining, that would generate an income regardless of what I did afterwards, that was also sellable. After a few years of learning a little bit about business and spending a lot of time reading and listening to tapes and all that stuff, you realize, okay, I got to have an exit strategy from the very onset, whether I'm exiting, today or, 40 years from now. So,
are there some numbers, statistics you could share that could give us a sense of the size of the business today?
Well, let me tell you two things. First off, this is actually my second alarm company because after about 14 and a half years of running the franchisor wanted to have a corporate location here in Richmond. And I was a little bit of a crossroads because the industry was changing quite a bit. And so they made me an offer that I can't refuse and to sell mine back to them to be a corporate owned location and to run it for them, which I did. But then very shortly thereafter, a lot of detail here, but there's a lot of change going on in the industry. There's a lot of consolidation. They were made an offer they couldn't refuse, and they spun off part of their organization, which I ran my office that I'd sold to them for about 8 months. they sold part of their organization, which allowed me to actually start back up in the business again, but from scratch with no client base. I had my name, but I had essentially sold all of my accounts, my contracts, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I started back up again in 2000. And so I'll just say that the first 15 years we had roughly, 1,200 or 1,300 accounts, and the second 15-year business we have about 3,000 accounts. So I guess you learn after the first time a little bit, and you. so we did about $1.5 million in business this year, most of which is recurring revenue.
Yeah.
So it's
good business. Well, so my next question was, were there any pivotal moments, that led to your success? Well, obviously, you shared a pretty pivotal moment, I suppose, in your business. So it kind of makes me think. Did you essentially in starting over, were there any thoughts that you had around like, well, this is how I'm going to do it different this time?
I would say yes, but they evolved mainly around how the industry had changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was, okay, I'm going to do all this completely different from what I did before. My business model changed, but my business model changed because the industry had changed.
Yeah.
Because just like cell phones, when they first came out, they were $1,000. Then they became free if you signed a contract. Alarm systems, when I started, were a couple thousand dollars. But then all of a sudden, the free business model came out if you signed a 3-year contract. And
right.
So I think I sold my first one at a good time so that I then had the resources to start up a different business model where I could,
mm-hmm.
I could lead within the industry's new business model.
Yeah, and in a way, not everybody gets that gift. There are a lot of people that kind of hang on to their business even though the industry's changing around them because they don't have a lot of choice. I suppose starting over doesn't sound like a gift, but in some ways it sounds like it was probably a very positive thing.
Well, the only thing constant is change.
So today or throughout your journey, what have you found to be the hardest thing about growing a business?
Probably finding the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that's one thing. Within our business, of course, generating qualified leads,
yeah.
for sure, which, of course, is where, Kevin has come in and helped a lot. For me, there's a lot of things within our industry, but I would say good people, qualified leads, those are the two most important things for my business.
Yeah, I've interviewed, I'm guessing, well over 1,000 people for this show and various other things that I have done over the years, and really two consistent things, marketing and people. And a lot of times people,
yeah.
sometimes it's just people management. There are definitely people that are more wired to manage, and certainly a lot of entrepreneurs actually struggle with that part because they're typically not the greatest managers. What have you done to kind of address those two issues, marketing and people management?
Well, the second go-around with this company, I've done most of the sales myself, and so I used lead generation programs, marketing that suited my sales style.
Mm-hmm.
And having done it for 15 years previously with the first company, I already knew the things that worked and didn't work.
Yeah.
So, again, that was another great benefit to having been around it for a long time. So that's kind of a tough question to ask.
Yeah.
I worked on lead generation and marketing that fit my sales style, number one. And number two, as far as people, I've always been very good around people. I'm very easygoing. Not a whole lot rattles me. I think if you're in business for yourself and you do get rattled easily, you're not going to last long. So I don't get rattled too easily. I've also made it part of my business plan when I started the second time was to outsource as much as I possibly could where it didn't affect client services.
Right.
I would never do anything to outsource that would impact service to my customer. But other things I like to outsource, like billing was outsourced. you know, I outsourced mailings and things like that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to try to do all that stuff in-house. And then ultimately, you know, as the internet evolved and internet marketing evolved and the, you know, the generation of people that were looking at alarm systems continued to expand, and more younger people are buying homes and so forth. And I got to take advantage of the internet. I don't know squat, so I got to find someone that knows how to manage that marketing. And that's kind of what then led me to Kevin.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in to this part of the program, I also have Kevin Jordan, who is a duct tape marketing consultant, on the line. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd love to obviously get your take, Kevin, as well on this idea. But a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners are typically, in many cases, are very good at selling. They're very good at building the business to a certain point, and then sometimes they recognize that point at which they need more than just kind of what their ability to sell can bring. So Kevin, how do you, when you work with an entrepreneur like that, that's very sales driven, how do you bring a distinction between, you know, what they had done to get to that point and maybe what marketing might be in a more expanded role?
Well, I think it comes back to thinking of marketing as a system, John, of course, which is what duct tape marketing is all about. And I think Frank is a perfect example of the sort of disconnect that can happen between, you know, marketing and sales if it's not treated as a system. Because when I first approached Frank, and in fact, the reason that he started working with me was that he was outsourcing the marketing, but he was outsourcing it to five or six different people. Mm-hmm. Like, one person was helping with direct mail, and one person was helping with a website, and one person was helping with SEO, and another person who actually referred him to me was helping with AdWords account management and pay-per-click. And none of them were like doing a super great job of communicating well with each other and making sure that everything was kind of working together to drive the qualified leads that he could then go and sell. So I think that was kind of the catalyst, if you will, that led to our, you know, project starting. I will say that, you know, one thing that has been a real relief for me is knowing that Frank is such a good salesperson, and that as long as I can bring the qualified leads to him, I don't have to worry about them falling through the cracks or, you know, not having a sales process in place, which is a problem with some of my other clients and, you know, some entrepreneurs, is that they're just not really good salespeople, and it doesn't matter how many leads I bring to them. I know that I'm going to have to also sell the leads and basically hand the customer to them on a silver platter. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And with Frank, I don't have that problem.
Yeah, I think that that's true whether you're doing in-person sales or, you know, you're selling a $29 product online. You've got to get the conversion part right before you start trying to throw traffic at it or throw dollars at it to generate leads, because you can be wasting a lot of time and effort. Frank, how would you or could you characterize what Kevin just said, that point of view of thinking of marketing as a system? Has that, have you fully embraced that idea, or is that, have you realized the impact of that yet?
Oh, for sure. I mean, and actually, you know, Kevin really kind of nailed it. I mean, yeah, I had, you know, all these different people there I was trying to get to do things for me, you know, because mm-hmm. you can't do everything. It's impossible. I don't care, you know, who you are. So, and there really wasn't a whole lot of organization. It was me trying to organize it all, which I, you know, you can't do that. Not and run the business as well, and also try to sell. So, you know, what he did was be able to offer, you know, an organized system, and he described it really well, you know, of a funnel, you know, and I kind of always sort of viewed it that way. I, you know, people would ask me who are in the alarm business that have seen me over the years. I've never been this great big huge superstar or anything, but I've been kind of a plotter. You know, mm-hmm. I just keep doing the same thing, do the same thing. I'm very patient. I'm very persistent. You know, and all of a sudden I got, you know, a big client base. And people ask me, well, you know, where do you get all your leads from? I said, well, you know, some of them come from direct mail. Some of them come from the internet, some of them come from referrals, some of them come from home shows, some of them come from yard signs, come from Yellow Pages. It's just, you know, just, you got to have a lot of different sources, you know. But, you know, what I really wasn't recognizing was that the internet was the same way.
Yeah.
But on a no, I'm not going to find the right word for this, but it was really the same thing. But it was you're trying to get all these people to get to your site, or to and then you know into this funnel, and you know ultimately there's only going to be a few that are going to fall out, and hopefully the few that you want. You know, once they you kind of the internet's going to kind of qualify things for you, and your goal is to be sure that you know all the little marketing that you're doing within the internet. Through your website and Google AdWords and all the, you know, the referral marketing, the email marketing, all the stuff that Kevin's now doing for us, you know, funnels it all down efficiently.
Yeah. So have you been able to, have you had enough time to quantify what working in that manner or organizing your marketing in that manner has meant in terms of clients and process and revenue even?
I'm going to just answer no to that question. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been doing this. How long have we been together now, Kevin?
It's been just about a year this month, actually. So,
yeah.
So I think a lot of it has been sort of bringing the system into place and setting up the funnel. And I think we've made some good progress in some areas, especially when it comes to things like the online reviews and the email marketing and things like that. So. We're now getting to the point where we can start cranking it up a notch now that we've done some of the testing and the tweaking. So I think that's the plan for year two, is to really kind of expand it. And we're also working on some sort of exciting strategic partnerships that I think have a lot of potential to bring in more referrals.
Yeah.
So
To answer your question directly, John, I could probably, now that we've had about a year, and of course, you know, one of the things I'm doing now is looking at the numbers from last year. You know, overall, my company's revenues were up right at 10%. So, you know, was that all due to that? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, I'm sure it probably wasn't. You know, but you know, technology has changed within our industry, which has brought in more revenue for us. However, there's no question about it. A lot of the things that we've done are making things work more efficiently. Referrals come into our business a lot easier, and they're easier to track. The online reviews, and that has come, I would say, you know, I think before Kevin started doing this, you know, I may have had one, if that. And we had a great reputation, but I didn't really know how to go about, you know, getting the reviews. I knew you could do it, but I didn't have time to do it. You know, that was the big thing. And now we have a number of really good reviews, and they have made closing sales so much easier too. Because an awful lot of times when people do call me up, they're saying, I say, by the way, how'd you hear about us? And they say, well, so-and-so referred me to you, or I just did a search, but you just had the best reviews out there. You had a bunch of really good ones. So that's why I called. Mm-hmm. So and it's almost like we're ready to go. Just come tell me what I need.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's having a great impact.
Yeah, and I think one of the things a lot of times people will point to initially, because particularly a business like yours that has been successful, you know, you're not going to double the business overnight. But I think I'm hearing you say that you feel more confident that it's being done and done right, and you have more control maybe over your marketing. And I think for many business owners, that kind of first, that initial benefit is pretty significant as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the future hold, Frank, for Dynamark? Are you going to, you know, you'd be satisfied with going along at X amount of growth, or do you have, you know, big plans for the next 5 years to take this thing over to other markets, or?
You know, I honestly don't have, you know, huge plans. I mean, I know I have, you know, what my goals are to for growth. And for me, it's growth in terms of accounts. It's not, you know, revenue is obviously very important, but, you know, the value of an alarm company revolves completely around the amount of recurring revenue that you have coming in, and that revolves completely around, really, well, not completely, but to a large degree, you know, generating new accounts and then keeping the attrition rate of your existing accounts down. So one of the things that I've been focusing a lot on this year is just really establishing a really good team of people that are really service focused, and that's really coming together very well too. And this is on a completely different front than what Kevin's been doing, is just trying to get great people in here, and we actually just brought in another really great person, and it's, you know, have a lot of little goals.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you mentioned that though, but I mean, a lot of people kind of disconnect that service element from marketing, but obviously any way, shape, and form, you know, in which your business comes into contact with a prospect, it's all a marketing function of sorts. So it sounds like you are pulling some things together nicely. And you know, I think, you know, the lesson for me, for a lot of entrepreneurs, is to go out and get that. And I heard you say it early on that you knew there were things you wanted to outsource that you didn't want to do either because you didn't like doing them, you weren't good at doing them, they took away from the primary, you know, kind of high payoff work. And I think that's a lesson many entrepreneurs need to learn if they're going to indeed grow their business. So, Frank, Kevin, thanks for joining me. Appreciate you sharing your story, and I think people will find plenty of inspiration in it.
All right. Thanks for having us, John.
Thanks for having us, John.